Sometimes questions rise out of the floor of old stone churches where candlelight flickers against stained glass and dark wood. The question of if Jesus was simply borrowed from older tales of gods who died and rose again has lingered in the shadows of modern conversation for a long time. People talk about it in books, videos, and late at night. There's nothing new about the cross and the empty tomb, just a remix of myths from Egypt, Greece, and faraway lands. Let's walk through this together with open eyes and steady hearts. At first, the atmosphere feels heavy, like walking into a vaulted hall with cool air and dim lights. The truth cuts through that darkness with a clear edge. Jesus isn't a replica. His life, death, and rising aren't copies. They're the original light that older stories only reflected or twisted. In these claims, ancient figures often get mentioned. In his story, Osiris reassembled himself, then ruled the underworld. His story speaks of the Nile and the land. Attis and Adonis carried themes of vegetation and seasonal return. Dionysus of Greece had tales of being torn apart and returning in some versions. Mithras appeared in later Roman mystery circles with a bull and shared meals. There's drama, blood, and return in these stories, but they're myths shaped by seasons, kings, and our need for renewal. History doesn't start the same way with Jesus. He was born under real rulers. Roman records, Jewish writings, and early followers say he taught, healed, and was executed by Pontius Pilate. It wasn't a symbolic tree or seasonal death that he died on the cross. It was a Roman instrument of shame and pain. After he was put in a known tomb, the tomb stood empty, and people who knew him said he was alive in there. They didn't talk about a God who ruled the dead or crops returning. They talked about a risen Lord who walked, ate, and spoke with them before ascending. A lot of old stories involve gods dying in nature's rhythm or suffering for personal reasons. Jesus dies as a sacrifice for sin, the brokenness that separates us from God. The older tales rarely claim historical witnesses in the same way as Jesus does. It's a one-time victory that breaks the power of death. Early Christians said they saw and touched the risen Jesus, and many faced death rather than change their story. People across the centuries used shared images for deep longings, like bread and wine or a dying figure. Shared images don't prove copying. Bread sustains life. Wine marks joy and blood. Death speaks to loss. Throughout history, Christians have taken ordinary things and given them new meaning through the real events of Jesus' life. It's not a mystery meal of secret knowledge. It's just a simple way to remember a broken body and a bloody sacrifice. There's a tendency to claim copying because people want to make Jesus just another myth among myths. However, the gospel's historical shape resists that reduction. They name places, people, and times. There are awkward details they'd smooth out if they were a pure myth-maker, like women being the first people to witness the empty tomb in a culture that valued male testimony more. Early believers' willingness to suffer and the rapid spread of the message point to something more solid than borrowed myths. In the Christian Gothic sense, the cross stands like a dark silhouette against a stormy sky, but light breaks from the empty tomb. Old gods remain in the shadows of seasonal change and human fear. It's not a return to the underworld or a green shoot in spring when Jesus rises with a body that still bears the nails. Death is swallowed up one day by a new creation. It sounds striking at first, but some modern writers list parallels. There's a God born of a virgin, a God who dies and rises on the third day, a God who offers eternal life. Closer examination often shows that the parallels are stretched or invented by later interpretation. Most of the so-called virgin births aren't births at all. Many of the rising stories don't have an empty tomb or any historical claim at all. Christians use the third-day motif in several places, but it's tied to the Jewish scriptures and the Passover and empty tomb timelines. In the end, it's not a story contest. It's a question of truth. If Jesus rose, the older myths become faint echoes of something deeper that God planted in us long before Bethlehem. People have always sensed death wasn't the end. They've told stories about it. Jesus makes that sense come to life in flesh and blood. It's a great Christian, Gothic mood. Picture a cathedral at dusk. Shadows linger in the high arches. Candles burn low. The stone feels cold. Yet the stained glass holds color, and the cross above the altar doesn't give up. There's no denying the darkness in Jesus' story. It just walks right into it and comes out with light that no shadow can ever quench. Those who raise the copying claim sometimes do so with a sense of relief, as if the uniqueness of Jesus has been removed and the faith demand has been reduced. But removing the uniqueness also removes hope. A copied myth isn't much more than seasonal comfort. The risen Jesus offers a living relationship with a God who created the world and who will make everything new one day. A crucified Messiah was a stumbling block for them. The early believers didn't invent their story to match older ones. Their message overturned expectations. The power of that message didn't come from clever borrowing. It came from the event itself and the Spirit who made the words alive in hearts. A bodily resurrection challenged Jewish and Greek ideas in different ways. In the end, the question turns on the questioner. If the older stories are only myths, why do they echo the shape of the true story so often? Perhaps because the true story was what the world was waiting for. Even when they don't completely understand it, the shadows point toward the light. Stand in the light. The cross is real. The tomb is empty. The risen Lord still calls. The ancient gods remain in their tombs of myth. Jesus invites each heart to step out of the shadows and into the living light. There's no cold debate here. This is an invitation to see the difference between borrowed darkness and the original light. The Christian Gothic path knows the night has already been overcome.